Clarity, Friday at noon on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Papas. Wow, that's an oldie, but a goodie. It is Monday. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is the first Monday in October, October the 3rd to be exact, and we have a lot going on. In a few minutes, we'll be talking with Devin Watkins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about whether the state of Minnesota can deprive a woman of the entire value of her home to settle a lesser debt. Wow. In fact, the Supreme Court may take up the issue in its latest term. So we're going to talk with Devin about that. And Democrats continue to lose ground to Republicans when it comes to the Latino vote. And we're going to take a look at that phenomenon a little later in the show. And did Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, did he wait too long before declaring an emergency for Lee County? That's where Fort Myers is, and Punta Gorda. And they really got hit. Sanibel Island is down there. Did he wait too long before Hurricane Ian came ashore? We are going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. The top 10 states with the worst public schools. Wow. So that'll be towards the end of the show. Meantime, here you are. And by the way, I hope you listened to Senior Voice America, which came on just before our program. Those guys do a wonderful job. And by the way, Tim Bryce and company on Senior Voice America, they are on Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the Tan Talk Radio Network. So here we are in October. We are, what, about 1 month away from the off-year elections. But you know what October is? Two things always happen in October. One is that the Supreme Court starts its new term, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But the other thing is, it's the worst month in the year for the stock market, and that's when things are normal. It's the worst month. The month of October has become legend among those who follow the market closely, with a history of crashes that have become known as the October effect, often striking fear that a downturn is on the horizon when the fall weather begins to roll in. Here is E.J. Antony. He is a research fellow for regional economics at the Heritage Foundation. Anyway, he gets into these things and he says the October effect is basically this idea that the market tends to have had a bad month routinely in October. Now, whether the evidence really backs it up, that's disputed. But there have been legendary crashes in October. The Panic of 1907,
Black Tuesday, Black Thursday, Black Monday in 1929, the worst of all time. That was October. It was October. How about Black, do you remember, Ed, 1987? Are you still old enough? Were you in diapers in 1987? Yeah, you were in diapers, but you were about 25 years old. Anyway, 1987, October, it was called Black Monday.
Yeah, I remember.
It was, you know, amazingly, October is the worst month. I wonder if there's any...
Well, the pandemic made us forget all about that, didn't it? I mean, as much as it crashed.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember that, you know, the stock market was up around 26, and by the time the pandemic, the height of the pandemic, it had gone down to 19. And then Trump brought it back to 26.
Was that where it was when Trump was in office, 26?
Yes, and during the first, it was like March.
Well, we got up to 30, you know.
I know, but then it dropped. It and got to 30, Trump got it to 26.
I thought he got it higher, but
well,
okay.
I'm sorry, you're right. It did go to 30. When he left, it was at 26.
Yeah, it started to drop, but we were in the pandemic. But he had,
yes.
It, let's put it this way. While Trump was in office, it was up at 30.
Mm-hmm.
It was up at 30 not long ago with Biden in office, but it's gone.
30? It was higher than that. It was 33,
yeah. Okay. 34? Well, you know what I mean, over 30. Yeah, you're right, 32. Whatever, 32,000 approximately.
Right.
And it's now come down to what, about 29,000? And there's a real fear. Because while it's coming down, everything else is not right. Right? We have inflation. Right? We have empty shelves. So we've got a lot of other economic bad news going on. And combining all of that together, we got a recession. Most people believe we have a recession. So this is scaring people maybe more than normal. Whereas if it was a normal, when I say a normal time when the stock market drops precipitously, mm-hmm. we would think, okay, well, it's going to right itself because there's no major problems economically going on in our country. Well, now there are major problems going on. So it's very scary, very scary. It says here, according to an analysis of the month by a fairly large financial organization, LPL, October historically has been the most volatile month during the year, seeing the most swings in either direction. So I wonder if it has anything, if it has anything to do with the fact that, maybe I'm way off here, but people take, like, vacation periods, and they, even into September sometimes, because September is considered the summer, and then all of a sudden, by the time we get into October, everybody is back doing whatever. Now, how that connects to having a bad stock market, I don't know. But I wonder if there's any if there's any connection between people working
well,
back in the saddle.
Usually by mid-September, all the kids in all of the United States are back in school.
That's true, too.
You know, and parents
I
get back to
no
work or whatever.
Right?
I don't know. But right now, nothing's getting done until both parties are so worried about the election coming up that nothing is getting done.
Well, that's another thing. They're on vacation. Congress is on vacation.
Okay, but unless it's at the forefront, like a school shooting... You know, it's sorry to say, or a hurricane. Now we're talking about global warming because we had a hurricane,
right?
But if that, you know, the border, they're ignoring the border until something tragic happens, gets to the front of the table. Everything else is pushed back. Nothing is getting done. Nothing. Like you said, our shelves in our stores are still bare.
Yeah, it's scary, scary.
Yeah, and still, prices are still ridiculous in the grocery stores.
They are very high.
Fuel has come down a little bit, but we're robbing Peter to pay Paul. We're still tapping our reserves.
Yes, we are. It's a bad time. Let's be honest. It's as bad a time as I've known economically in this country.
You got a president calling out dead congressmen. And a vice president that thinks that the people should be reimbursed by the color of their skin.
For the damage to,
for
by
damages,
Hurricane Ian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was and we're going to talk about that a little bit later as well. Things are really not what they should be, let's be honest. Hey, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to switch gears a little bit. Devin Watkins, Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about a woman that in Minnesota has been deprived of basically the value of her home, the value of her entire house to settle a lesser debt.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Tune in Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. for Miss Sarah's Dynamic Gospel Power Show. That's 2 hours of great gospel music every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m., all brought to you by the Ozona Pig Restaurant in Ozona. Yes, that's every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. It's Miss Sarah's Dynamic Gospel Power Show. Tune in on the Tantalk Radio Network. You got to be safe. You got to be safe.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. And guess who's back also? The Supreme Court is back. Yes, indeed. They start their new term today, October the 3rd. And one of the things that they may be considering a little bit later in this term is a very interesting case out of Minnesota. It has to do with a Minnesota widow who may, or in fact has been told that she has to settle a lesser tax debt by giving up the entire equity value of her home. And the Competitive Enterprise Institute, among others, has joined in a brief, they call it an amicus brief, friend of the court brief, asking the high court to take this thing up. We have Devin Watkins, who, by the way, is an attorney for the Competitive Enterprise Institute with us, and we're going to talk about it. Devin, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, indeed. This is a rather interesting case, and most people have not heard about it with everything else going on, but a very important one. Could you explain the background on this Minnesota woman and why she's stuck having to basically give up her equity to pay off a debt?
Well, so she had tax debt that she hadn't paid. The tax debt was $2,300. And if you include all the penalties and interest and fees and stuff like that for not paying the tax debt, the total amount that the government was owed was about $15,000. Well, when they weren't getting paid, they decided, they looked at her and saw that she owned a condo that was worth $40,000. So they seized the condo and they sold the condo for $40,000, and they kept $40,000, not just the amount over the $15,000 that they were owed. They didn't give any of that money back to her. They kept not just the $15,000, but the whole $40,000.
How could they get away with that?
They basically...
Yeah. How could they get away with taking the rest of it? What's the rule of a law that allows them to keep the rest?
So there's a state law that basically says that, you know, if they have seized your property and... it goes through foreclosure. There's a time period where you have the chance to pay back what you owe. But if you don't do that and it goes all the way through foreclosure where they have to sell the house, they keep everything.
Wow.
And because that's what the state law says, the Eighth Circuit says, we, the federal courts, determine property rights based on what state law says. And state law says you don't have any property rights anymore. Therefore, the government doesn't need to give you anything.
I can see why you took a friend of the court against this ruling. this doesn't make any sense. I mean, talk about the perfect example of big government against the little guy, or in this case, the little woman, you know?
Yeah, this is a 92-year-old widow.
Oh, my.
I'm sure she would have paid the tax if she could, but, you know, although she's got value in her home, that she may not have the ability to pay the tax that she owed.
Now, is she still in her home, or did they pull it out from under her? How did that work?
I believe that they took her home and sold it to someone else.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It's almost a cartoon, I'm thinking. So here we are. Let me ask you about the chances, Devin, of the Supreme Court taking this case. And if they do decide to take the case, would they be discussing the case in this term?
So they can take the case, and they can assign it for this term if they wish. In terms of certs, certiorari is when it's requested that the lower court lower court opinion be reviewed by the Supreme Court. We aren't directly representing Ms. Tyler in this case. That's being represented by Pacific Legal Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
We just filed our own opinion with the court, asking the court to consider this a really important case that they should reconsider. And so they have requested it, and the court could take it up this term. If you look at all the petitions for certiorari, about 5% of them are granted each year. So it's a pretty small amount. But there are reasons to believe that this might be higher. So there is what's called like a circuit split. There's a variety of different courts that have come to different conclusions on this. And it's really a lot of state courts. So you have on the other side, Michigan, Minnesota, you have on the other side a variety of states that have come forward and said this is wrong and they disagree with it, like Indiana, I think North Dakota, Texas, and Alaska. But the Eighth Circuit, along with I think Arizona, Illinois, Maine, Ohio, Oregon, Nebraska, I think a variety of states have said that they can do this. So because there are states and circuits on both sides of the issue, that increases the chance that the Supreme Court will take it to try to resolve which court is right.
Have there been similar cases like this?
There have been a lot of different cases over the years. I'm looking at like a dozen different case names in front of me concerning different...
Where they've taken the home, basically, to pay off a debt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
Here's one where government retained the surplus proceeds from a tax foreclosure sale. Let's see. This one was in Michigan. There's one in Ohio. There's ones throughout the country in a lot of different states.
Right. Well, this one is particularly egregious. So I can see why... I can see why everybody is hopping on board this one. We're talking with Devin Watkins. He's an attorney for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we have a tear in our eye for this woman. I feel bad for her. A Minnesota woman, 92 years old. I guess the case is Tyler versus Hennepin County, which I guess is Hennepin, St. Paul, Minneapolis area there? I guess it is. And
I believe so. It's that's the county. But, So
CEI becomes a kind of a friend of the court on this one. We're going to do a little bit later in the show the fact that the Supreme Court's really got a lot on its docket right now that it's going to be discussing. I guess I don't know if there's room for one more, as they say, but this might be a very important term in terms of what it go ahead. Yeah.
Let me tell you just kind of how often this happens. In just Minnesota, not any of the other states, in the six-year term from 2014 to 2020, there was 1,200 people or homes that were seized by the government like this. And the average amount of debt compared to equity was 8% of the home's value.
Average. 8%.
Average amount of the debt was 8% of the total home's value.
Right. But in each of the cases, did they take the entire equity and keep it?
Yep.
Wow. I think it does deserve consideration. I wonder why they would even deign to do that, you know? Let's say, who knows what the value is of this woman's home, the total equity of it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say it's $50,000 or something like, or $60,000. And you said something like, I forget, how much does she now owe because of interest and late penalty fees?
$15,000 she currently owes.
$1.5, okay. So they can take like a $50,000 equity and keep it. Kind of a 92-year-old, you just think that somebody somewhere in the system would go, no, we can't do that.
My guess is that the legislature, when they were writing this, they were just thinking about, you know, we got to take the home for a tax debt. And so they write it out that way without thinking about the implications. And then down the line, you know, government people are in there going, you know, we're going to take whatever money we can get.
Sure. Let me ask you this, Devin, as long as I got you and you're an attorney there. The Supreme Court's got a bunch of cases that are coming up. Are there any that you're looking at right now that are particularly interesting to you that they may be considering other than this one?
Well, the one that they're considering today, I believe, Sackett, the United States, is an interesting one concerning the waters of the United States. This concerns, in very many ways, the power of the federal government to control a lot of local land use. In this case, a landowner was attempting to fill an area with water on their land. They're trying to put dirt in the water that's on their land. Well, according, the EPA told them they think that water is a wetlands. It's not connected, you know, via any kind of above ground water to any other water source, but they believed it was beneath the ground through the water table that it was, that water made it a wetlands. So they prohibited the after they said if they don't get rid of the stuff that they already put into the water, that they're going to charge them. It was some crazy amount, like $15,000 or $50,000 a day. It was so crazy. And then they also said, oh, by the way, you can't even get any kind of judicial review on that.
No,
the Supreme Court handled that already in the past and said, no, these people get judicial review on this before they get fined.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're actually arguing about what the extent of the federal government's powers over water and water on people's lands is. There was a split on the Supreme Court last time it came up. The liberals were one on one side, the conservatives were on the other side, and Kennedy kind of wrote this middle ground position that the government is trying to argue for now. The more extreme, they abandoned their more extreme position where almost every puddle in the country becomes a
that's what I was just thinking. Yeah, if you've got any kind of a oh my God, that doesn't make any sense.
But
either.
Now they're arguing that Kennedy was right in that there has to be a nexus, and they're claiming the nexus is through the water table in this case. My opinion is Scalia's interpretation is correct, that there has to be some relatively continuous surface water connection. And that is what would be two navigable waters, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as there's a surface water connection directly to a navigable water, that is the furthest that the federal government can reach.
Yeah. Well, I think it, and I would tend to agree with your logic on this, because if they did not allow that, the Scalia philosophy, then every time there was some sort of, like you say, a puddle on the land, you know, they would have to actually figure out, dig down to find out if there was indeed a connection with the water table and a transport to a larger body of water. It would become ridiculous. It would become expensive. Wouldn't make any real common sense. Common sense would go out the window on that one. Yeah. Devin,
and it also deprives the states of being able to handle these situations.
There you go.
Well, if the federal government steps in, right, states can. So we want this handled at the state level.
By the states, always. Absolutely, by the states. Mm-hmm. Devin, it's a pleasure to have talked with you about this. We'll continue to keep an eye on it. And, of course, look forward to talking with you again down the road.
Wonderful talking with you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Devin Watkins, Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we got a lot to talk about. One thing we are going to talk about, more about what the Supreme Court is looking up, and Democrats continuing to lose ground to Republicans when it comes to the Latino vote.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Steve Vaccaro, psychologist and host of the Chapters Wrap Live. Each live show will bring on top-notch guests from the nonprofit world. We are the advocacy show that provides a platform for other advocates. So please tune in on your drive home from work to share your voice. The Chapters Wrap, where unity and diversity meet one chapter at a time.
Listen to Kicking Unhealthy Relationships to the Curb at 5, Voices for Change at 6, Reach Out with Ray and Steve at 7, and the Chapters Wrap at 8, Wednesdays, here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works, we are so delighted that you are with us. I guess Governor DeSantis taking a little heat here, Ed, on how quickly the office responded to an emergency declaration down in Lee County. That's where Fort Myers is and where the hurricane came ashore. Said here, first of all, of course, that area facing major damage in the wake of Hurricane Ian. And some of the media are saying, well, why didn't Governor DeSantis act quicker? Where were you, kind of a thing? I don't think that that's justified. I think.
Well, I do.
Do you think he waited too long?
I think Governor DeSantis should be held responsible because obviously his crystal ball was not working correctly. And you know that when a tragedy is about to happen, you have to know. Crystal ball.
Yeah.
You know, every time there's a tragedy, before we pick everything up and help these people, we want to blame somebody.
Exactly.
And he's going to be the kicking boy for everything.
Everybody
is. From the size of his shoes to the color of his suits. But if you want to blame somebody, blame the forecasters. Because they are the ones that had Fort Myers in the cone of a watch, not a warning. Everybody knows that Tampa Bay Clearwater was supposed to be the landing spot.
Yeah, they blew it.
And if you want to blame
I'm very upset about that.
Blame Mother Nature, because Mother Nature is the one that pushed the cold front down ahead of schedule and pushed the hurricane down.
Yeah, it's always looking
good
for...
Good God, you people. You know, here we do, Paul. I want to get those people, those reporters that are saying this. I want the reporters, I'm going to take them by the back of their hair and take them down to the station and put them in front of their meteorologist, who is the one that told them that Clearwater was the one that was going to get hit, not
That's
Fort
right.
Myers.
Yeah, well put.
Ugh.
Oh, well. By the way, it looks like it says here, across Florida, at least 79 people have been, died.
I think
now.
It was 81. It
81,
was the last
wow.
count.
Yeah,
it's just
very tragic.
They're going to keep finding people
They will. Very tragic. By the way, we have a guy that's safely up in New York. In fact, he's up in Rochester, New York. I don't think they ever get... Do they ever get hurricanes up there? I don't think so.
Well...
Go ahead.
They get a flooding.
Yeah, I guess
they get a flooding of illegal immigrants up there.
They do.
It's the middle of the night.
So we got Angelo with us, our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi. Angelo, how are you?
Oh, very good. Good morning. Our prayers and thoughts are with the people in Florida, up here in New York.
Yeah. That's good of you. Now, did you get any remnants at all of the hurricane up there? I guess you wouldn't get much of anything there, right?
No, because it came up the East Coast, like a nor'easter would.
Yep.
And we got a little bit of cloud. Maybe that's about it.
Okay. Well,
up here we get the blizzards and we get the polar vortex in the winter.
Yeah, exactly. I know that. Okay. Another thing you get in about a month is you're going to get an election for your governor of the state of New York, and we've been talking with you about that. The current governor, I always forget her name, is it Kathy Sokol or something?
Kathy Hochul.
Kathy Hochul.
Her Majesty. And she thinks she's the queen now.
She's the queen, Queen Kathy. And then is it Lee Zeldin that's running on the Republican side?
Yes, and he's starting to close the gap.
I was going to ask you. I saw him on, of course, he's making the rounds on the networks. I saw him over the weekend. He sounds and looks like he is a, I don't know, it sounds like he knows what he's about. You know, he sounds confident.
Well, he is. He's a congressman. He's also, he was active duty, I think he was in the Army. And I don't know if it was airborne or whatever. I forgot what he was in. He's still in. But he's pretty knowledgeable. He's from the state of New York, you know, obviously, and he knows what he's doing. He's for the First Amendment. He's for the Second Amendment, which Kathy Hochul has taken away from us, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we got some stuff going to the... We have a federal judge trying to rule on her recent thing where she took away our Second Amendment, where we... Cannot carry all these restricted areas and sensitive areas. If you walk on the sidewalk, you cannot carry either, anywhere in New York State.
Do you find that to be the biggest issue right now with the state of New York for this race? Or
well,
how about the crime?
The crime would be number one, the bail reform that they have up here, where they let the criminals out. I mean, they let them walk the streets constantly. There's no, the crime is unbelievable. We got over 60 some odd homicides here in Rochester this year.
Yeah. Was that a horrible subway attack on, or wherever it was, that woman, video of a woman being pummeled, I think she might lose the sight in one of her eyes, by what amounted to a homeless man that got upset because she would not acknowledge him. Was that in New York?
That was in New York City.
Yeah. That in itself, if enough people see that, I think it could turn the tide in an election like this.
Well, I mean, I can't understand how New York City always votes Democratic, you know, whereas upstate New York always votes Republican. I mean, you know, it's the people in New York City that a lot of the crime is happening also, and I cannot believe that they would vote for these people. I just can't believe it.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
It's the same way in all of these other states that have large cities. Look at Illinois. Downstate Illinois is generally conservative Republican, and the inside of the city is very, very, very liberal. It's just the nature of the beast, I'm afraid. When you go to any major city... Go ahead.
Same thing with Rochester. It's Rochester is what they call a safe... What do they call it?
Sanctuary
city. Yeah, I mean, look at the crime we have. Over 62 homicides, I think it is. I could be wrong, but I know it's 60 or over this year alone.
Yeah, very.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
We're talking to our eye in the northern sky. By the way, how's the weather in early October in Rochester?
Well, today, this morning, the temperature was 43 to 46 degrees.
Wow.
It's a heat wave right now, 52 degrees.
Okay. Because normally...
We had the frost on the pumpkin already.
Yeah, and the pumpkin's coming towards the end of the month. So everybody's getting set. We were talking earlier about the Supreme Court. They've got a lot of important cases that that they are going to be considering. One of them, maybe I'll talk the idea over with you. One of them... involves Harvard University and a couple of other major universities in the Northeast And the way that they apply entrance of certain races, and giving deference, for instance, to African Americans and allowing them entrance, even though their test scores may not be as good as other people who therefore are not allowed in. And now there have been some Asians that are complaining that they are being discriminated against because their test scores should have allowed them entry into the university, but they were deprived of that because of the decision to allow whatever you want to call it, equity, to be a factor for an African American. I wanted to see what you thought about that.
Well, anytime you have affirmative action going, which I think it's still called affirmative action.
Affirmative action.
That hurts the people. I mean, the Democrats and the administration, the Democratic administrations, are always pushing affirmative action. I mean, if they could just go back to what it used to be, you have to work hard, right, to try to get into the school you want. You have to go to school. You don't miss classes. And the way they, you know, like I guess Rochester now, they said they've been inflating the grades here in the Rochester School District. I don't know about that. It's been alleged. I heard the news this morning.
I'm sorry, they're avoiding what?
The Democratic Chronicle, our newspaper, alleges that there was fraud committed in the Rochester School District because of the grades. The okay. teachers and the administration inflated the grades.
Okay.
You know. You know, so now by doing that, they're hurting the student, right? And then you got affirmative action with these kids trying to get into college.
Of course.
That probably shouldn't be going to college. You know, they talk
That's
about going to
fraud.
College. Going to college. It's a fraud.
Yeah.
Right. And affirmative action only hurts it even more.
Right. No, it's terrible that
they're dividing
to cheat.
They're dividing the people is what they're doing.
Yeah, what an example for the kids that they're trying to educate. When the system itself is cheating. I mean, talk about the complete collapse of the whole concept of teaching kids to do the right thing and educating them. You know,
Right. They're teaching them to cheat.
Yeah.
They're teaching them fraud. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And yet, these are going to be the future leaders of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Then you wonder why we have the Congress people that we have and the senators that we have. I mean, one guy, who's the guy from Connecticut, I think it is? Blumenthal? Is he from Connecticut?
Blumenthal, yeah, I know who you mean. Sidney Blumenthal or something like that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's a guy that said he was a Vietnam veteran, right?
Yes.
Stolen valor. And yet, he's still a senator. Go figure.
I know. They let them get away with all kinds of things.
And they let them get away with it.
Yeah.
The media lets them get away with it. The rest of the politicians. The Democrats alone, he's a Democratic senator, and they allow him to stay as a senator. They don't say, no, you're wrong. What you did is wrong. You have to resign.
Yep.
That's a disgrace to all of us combat veterans of Vietnam.
I think it is. It certainly sounds like Is Rochester getting any busloads of illegal migrants into their town?
Well, I haven't. I guess we're getting some, you know.
Okay.
But I don't know if, you know, the media hasn't said anything about it.
Okay.
Nothing in the newspapers, nothing on the radio stations or the news outlets here in Rochester.
Did you hear what Kamala Harris had to say?
Oh, she says that the immigrants are needed to be in Florida to pick the crops.
That was Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, Pelosi.
But you're right.
Right, I'm sorry.
No, and you're right. You know what? That's who I meant. you're the one that corrected me. I meant Nancy Pelosi. Well, we need to keep the migrants down here because we got a lot of fruit picking we got to
yeah,
do.
So plenty of crops to pick out there.
We got crops here. What the hell are we doing sending them on a bus? I don't understand that at all. I want them. Look, we got lawns here that we got to have maintained. We got all kinds of oranges and grapefruit. We got to get it taken care of.
What was the one Osborne that said on the View that gabbing crow's nest of women that talk? She said something when Donald Trump was in office, and he said that, you know, we got to get these illegals out of here. And she said, well, if we do that, who's going to clean his toilets? Now, Nancy Pelosi saying they need to be here because we got plenty of crops to pick is just pretty bad.
I mean, come on. Why isn't that a major story on the media?
Because the media and the Democrats think that all these illegals are figment of our imagination. They don't exist. You should have seen the three busloads this morning came into New York City. Three.
And
you got one guy that hands him a bracelet to tag him and bag him, whatever. And then one, this is how stupid this is. One woman is handing each person a mask, and she's not wearing one.
Oh, there we go. There we go. I tell you what, the world, this is Alice in Wonderland. This is not, Angelo, there's so many crazy things going on. I'm hoping, I'm looking at the stock market. Angelo, do you have any money invested in the stock market?
I took it out when COVID first started.
You did the right thing. We were talking.
I haven't been in since.
Yeah. I mean, for a while, Biden was able to get away with the idea that, well, at least the stock market's doing okay, even though everything else is crashing down around him. Well, now even the stock market has crashed down around him. I don't know what he's got left.
Trump. He's going to go after Trump.
Oh, is that
Trump for everything.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Angelo, it's always a pleasure. I hope everything is well with you, and I look forward to talking with you again next week.
Oh, thank you. By the way, I'm going on the honor flight October 22nd through the 23rd.
What's
to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington.
Oh, you are. October the 22nd and the 23rd? Well, we will be.
That's correct.
That's terrific. And, of course, with your service and everything, which we salute. And I know we'll be talking about that as we get closer.
Yes, we will. All right. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. All right. All right, Angelo Ceresi, our Eye of the Northern Sky. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to look at why are Democrats losing ground to Republicans when it comes to the Hispanic vote.
Like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you ready? Are you ready? If you ain't got no money, take your broke pump, you say.
Hey, that's an interesting comeback sound. Pretty good. Hey, thank you for being with us here on Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, God willing. On the Tan Talk Radio Network. However, if you can't listen to us live, Ed's got all our shows on tape. He puts them on the podcast, and you can go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com, And you can listen to any of our shows. He's got the most recent shows at the top, and you'll see who the guest is and our top 10. Bless his heart. OurFreedomWorks.com.
All right. I wanted to say one more thing about the DeSantis late thing on the hurricane. I am always cautious about when a hurricane here, but I always keep my eyes open knowing that it could possibly turn. And I got to tell you, 2 days before that thing hit, I actually took my phone camera and took pictures of the area here, thinking that this thing might change the landscape of what I grew up in.
That's a good point.
Edgewater Drive. I took pictures of the station.
Did you?
Because I really thought that thing, the way it was being forecasted, and it was nothing in its way, just to slam right into us. I went right up and down the coast, and I took photos.
And for those that don't know, our station is not far from the intercoastal.
No, CBS was on the phone with me like crazy, saying, "Listen, we want you on because you know you're right, you're ground zero."
Yeah,
got you. And then they left me like an altered bride at the altar.
So you might have been one of their correspondents.
I was ready to do it, and then they said, "Hey, it's now forecast at 4 miles." That was like 24 hours before.
How did you feel when you first realized that there was it looked like it was not going to get to us?
Naturally you feel elated, you know.
I felt so relieved.
You feel bad about those people down there.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because Charlie hit that area too.
That's right.
You know, and they keep saying, you know, Tampa, it's your turn.
I know.
You know, and it was going to affect things for months and years around here.
And again, it's not that we absolutely, completely escaped scot-free. We had some power outages, of course. I had some. But you know what? We'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, that was more of an inconvenience than anything
else. It was
an
inconvenience, and that's all it was. All right. Now, Democrats have lost significant ground to Republicans among Latino voters compared to previous election cycles. And that's according to a new poll by NBC and Telemundo. And a survey of 1,000 Latino voters found that the majority, 54%, still prefer Democrats to keep control of Congress as a result of the midterms. But that is down 5 percentage points since 2 years ago. And it's down a whopping 13 points since about 4 years ago. So it's trending towards Republicans. This is one of the people that conducted the survey. Apparently a Hispanic, Eileen Cardona Arroyo. She said, while Latinos continue to lean towards Democrats and prefer Democratic control of Congress, Republicans have a higher share of the vote than previously measured. It says here only 33% of Latino voters say they prefer Republicans taking control of Congress. But the issue, and here's the thing with Latinos, they are not socialists. They believe in family. They believe in individual labor. That's one thing that's at their core. And ultimately, I think that's why they would be uncomfortable staying in the Democratic Party. And we'll see where all of that goes. All right, before we get to our top 10, Ed, I was watching a circus football game last night.
Oh, God, no.
Between the Kansas City Chiefs and our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And unfortunately, our Bucs came out on the short. And I guess if we had had a little more time, we would have scored another touchdown. What do you think?
Yeah, and if I had the right lotto numbers, it'd be a rich man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought we had a good defense here.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs kind of tore apart.
They were outmatched. They were outmatched. A bad game plan. You know, still missing some pieces on offense. The offensive line is good, not great.
May we say that the Chiefs are just a better team?
Yeah, absolutely. They were ready. I mean, they've been shut down during the year. I mean, there's other teams that have beat them, but Bucks just weren't ready.
Did we lose by about 10? I can't remember what.
Yeah, it was 41-31.
Yeah.
It was the final score. It wasn't even really that close.
Yeah.
10 points is,
I didn't think Brady performed badly, but.
No, he didn't, but it just seemed the game plan was not Brady's way. I don't know what was going on there, you know?
Do you like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach?
Jury's out on that.
Too early, huh?
I'm I don't like a guy that when something happens, he stands there with his arms folded.
Well, what do you want him to do? Stand on his hands?
We had enough of that with Tony Dungy. But to me, I want...
Action
as a player,
right away.
I would want some emotion. You know, I would, you know, when something doesn't go your way and you're being cheated or something like that, just to stand there and smile, I don't know. But
well,
that's his demeanor.
You got to remember that you got to keep your own people from getting too upset. So you got to set the example as a coach. You got to kind of keep your cool.
Maybe it's just a personal preference.
Right.
I don't know.
No, I understand.
And by the way, the over the weekend, also the Tampa Bay Rays backed themselves into a playoff spot.
They backed in.
They backed in by losing 2 out of 3. Yeah.
Okay, they clinched a playoff
clinch,
spot.
That's what I mean.
When they won that first game against the Houston.
Yes, when they beat Houston, and then
they lost the next two.
Yeah, and it looks like they're going to be on the bottom of the bowl, you know, for the first round.
When will they play?
This weekend.
This coming.
I think it's 3 games. They'll get their free T-shirt and head home.
Do we know who they're going to play?
No, I don't know.
We don't know. Yet. Okay,
I'm so disgusted with them. I really didn't look.
Oh well, we got in. Come on now, let's not get down. What about as long as we're on it? What, real quickly, the hockey season starting in about a week?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, got to get to our top 10. Top 10 states with the best public schools. Worst public schools. Forbes magazine. Are you ready? Number 10. West Virginia. I'm not surprised. Tough state.
Wow.
A lot of things going on that need to get better. Number 9. Oregon. That surprised me. I thought Oregon would do well with public schools. Apparently not. Number 8. Alabama, okay. Some of the deep southern states, I understand. Number 7, Mississippi, okay. This state ranks in the bottom 3 on both college and high school attainment rates. Okay. Number 6, this one kind of surprised me, Nevada. Nevada's not very, very good when it comes to public schools. Maybe they're all over at the casinos. Number 5, Arizona. Maybe the same problem as Nevada. I don't know. Number 4, Alaska. Now, it's interesting. Alaska's economy has shrunk faster than any other state over the past 5 years. And there's a net migration out of Alaska.
But doesn't Alaska, close up shop for 6 months of the year?
I don't know.
And live off their...
It gets pretty cold, though.
They get their, what is it, subsidies or whatever it is?
Well, they do get energy subsidies.
Yeah,
yes.
From the oil.
Yes,
yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
Right. Number 3. Of all places, number 3 is Washington, D.C. That's embarrassing.
Wow.
Our nation's capital. The third worst public school system.
Wow.
Number 2. Louisiana. Boy, Louisiana's bad when it comes to crime.
Yeah. Wow.
Louisiana's bad when it comes to hurricanes. Louisiana's bad when it comes to schools. Why the hell do you want to live in Louisiana?
Go to Bourbon Street, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. All right. You want to even try it?
We stay sort of in the south and go with... Alabama?
Go west.
Go west.
Go west.
Go west, young man.
Yeah.
California?
Too far.
No.
That's all right. New Mexico.
Mm.
New Mexico is the worst. It also fares poorly on quality of life metrics, a product of comparatively low school test scores and high crime.
Would anybody brag about living in New Mexico? I don't know.
I don't know. I always thought it was a pretty state, but...
a dust bowl.
Things are tough, yeah. All right, thank you so much. We will be back on Wednesday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM